I'm going to talk about the goals that we have in our life and whether we have good goals in our life or whether we have bad goals in our life. Ever since we're born, we seek after things that make us happy, that make us successful, that make us fulfilled, to give us a sense of worth and value. For a new baby, the things they're after are very simple. They want food, they want it now. They want cuddles, they want love, they want milk. And they do everything they can do to get these things, mainly cry. And if they don't get them, they cry harder. Thankfully, babies grow up and turn into small children, and eventually we grow up into teenagers and adults. Hopefully we've learned that crying isn't the way to get a drink or food, because that would just be a little bit sad. If I was sat at the dinner table, I want my dinner! That wouldn't be a very good thing to do as an adult. But our goals in life as we grow up, they change. We begin to realise that getting food and getting it now isn't actually that's not going to satisfy us. It's not going to give us value. It's not going to fulfill us in our life in the same way it does for a baby. When children are maybe 3 or 4, they're quite like sweets. And there's some days when Charlotte really wants sweets. And when we say no, when we block that goal of hers, then she can experience a range of emotions. Some anger and things. But thankfully, we know that our children are going to grow up, and hopefully getting sweets isn't going to be a life goal. Because otherwise they'll be giant adults. maybe with some health problems. So the goals that we have in life, as a child, as a baby, they might not be the best goals to have in life. But that's okay, because they're still small. And the problems that bad goals can have aren't going to affect them that much. But as we grow up, the consequences of bad goals can get worse. It's been like, for a very short period of my life, I played golf. I wasn't very good, but I remember I'd only ever really played on very small courses. The type of course where you start here and the hole is by the door. Very, very short. And it's meant to take you maybe 3 shots to get maybe it's a bit further. But it's meant to be easy. And I wasn't very good. And so it would take me normally about 10 shots to get the ball in the hole. But I remember the first time a friend of mine took me to a full-size golf course. I remember standing there, I've got all the gear, I've got the trousers, I've got the t-shirt, I've got the special shoes that you have to wear, because there's lots of rules on a golf course. I wouldn't be allowed to wear this. And I remember standing there, got to do a little wiggle of the bum. I remember looking out and thinking, this place is huge. I couldn't see where the hole was. They have to put a flag in it so that you can see it from so far away. But the funny thing was, it still only took me maybe 10 shots to get the ball in, even though it was a lot further. That's because I couldn't hit the ball very far. So I'd give it everything I could, and it would only go maybe 30 meters. And it wouldn't go straight, it would go over there. But because this place was so huge, and the really nice bit of grass was so wide, even my 30-meter shot still ended up on good grass. So I'd just walk over there, I could find my ball easily. It wasn't in the trees, like on the small course. So I'd find my ball, and I wouldn't aim for the hole, because I knew I wasn't going to get it there, so I'd aim over there. And so my ball would just kind of slowly work its way to the hole. But that's because my technique, my strength, I couldn't hit the ball very far. So the consequences of a bad shot, they were very small. By the end of my small period of my life where I played golf, and I could hit the ball a lot further, maybe on a very good day, if everything just went perfectly, I could get the ball maybe 120 meters, maybe 150. It was a long time. But if you can hit the ball that far, and if you're a professional golfer and can hit the ball 300, 400 meters, the consequences of a bad shot are very bad. You're not going to find your ball. You're going to have to start all over again. Or you're going to end up in a tree or in a lake. And it's the same in our lives. If our goals are based on bad ideas, maybe bad beliefs, the consequences of them, as we go further on in life, can be a lot worse. In Psalm 13, we see a little glimpse of King David. Now, King David, he was God's chosen king. I'm sure his goal was to be the best king he could be. And he knew that God was with him. And so when enemies came against Israel, David knew that God was with him in defeating them. So whenever a new enemy came, he would know that they weren't going to succeed. King David, Israel, God's people were going to succeed. However, we know from reading about David that his emotions can go up and down. And Psalm 13 is a particularly dark moment that he's in. So I'll read the first part of it. It says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Now, this is a very dark time for David. He thinks God's abandoned him. Now, has God actually abandoned David? Is God hiding from David? No. It's just in this moment, David has a wrong belief about God. His view of his relationship with God in this moment is not correct. Now, thankfully, David picks himself up again and gets on the right track, and the psalm ends very, very well. It says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So David was getting all depressed and sour and angry with God, because he was trying to defeat his enemies whilst thinking that God wasn't with him. If I had to fight an enemy and God wasn't with me, I was just by myself, I think I would be quite sad, and I think I'd be quite depressed and worried. And in David's time, you know, we're talking swords and spears, so this is serious. Consequences. And if he thought that he had to defeat an enemy by himself, I think I would be depressed too. So his goal of, you know, being the great king that God's called him to be, to win the battles, if he was trying to do that without God, that's a very bad goal to have. And it wouldn't have been possible. And thankfully, David realizes this and returns to God and the source of his hope. But if he had stayed in that place, he would have gotten very depressed, and he wouldn't have been a very good king. And Israel would have been a lot worse than it was. Before Cecilia and I moved to Norway the first time, we lived in a place called Gloucester in England. Gloucester. And I used to play football for a local team with a very funny name, Gloucester Elmleys. It doesn't mean anything, it was just the name of the road. But my purpose for playing football was to have fun. And so when I was asked to, I started by just going to the practices that the team would have on a Tuesday. And I showed up every week, I wasn't the best player. In fact, I was probably the worst player. But that was okay. My purpose for being there, my goal, was to have fun. Maybe get a bit fitter. But eventually, we practiced through the summer, and come September, the league was about to start. And our team didn't have enough players. So the manager came up to me and said, Steve, you're not very good. This is actually what he said. You're not very good, but I know that I can trust you. You show up, and I'd like you to sit on the bench for our team, just in case we need you. And so I agreed, and the manager was very kind to me. think the types of people that I met whilst playing football there were some very interesting characters. Lots of not my normal crowd of friends, but that way, lots of hard men who drink too much and probably do illegal things. But it was interesting experience to be with them and to play football with them. And I thought it's the only chance I really get to meet non-Christians, so maybe I should keep going. But the manager, he was very kind to me. And when the first game was going to be played, he said, "Steve, because you've been loyal, you've come every week to practice, you're never late, you pay your money when you're meant to, I'm going to let you start on Saturday." Now, I played at the front. So my job was to score goals. But that wasn't my purpose. My purpose was to have fun. If I got goals, that was good. I would be happy, the team would be happy. But I wasn't going to base my life, my value as a player, on scoring goals. So I kind of knew I wasn't that good. I would have been very, very anxious and probably gotten angry and depressed if my purpose for being there was to get the ball in the back of the net. But my purpose was to have fun, and no one could stop me from having fun. One of the other players there was a guy called Tom, and he played at the front as well. His purpose was to score goals. That was his whole reason for being there. You know, during the week, we had a little messenger group, and he would be saying how many goals he's going to score, and come a Saturday, he'd be getting ready and gearing himself up, and yeah, I'm gonna score 3 goals today, and just you watch. And then when the game started, there's 11 people on the other team trying to stop you from scoring goals. And people would tackle him. He was a very good player, and he did score quite a few goals. But when people stopped him from scoring goals, when maybe the defenders were too good for him, or he made bad choices on passes and where to run, he would get angry. If people were stopping him from reaching his purpose, he would get angry. And there were a few times during the season where we saw him get a red card because he got too angry with people and kicked them or pushed them too hard. And then afterwards, when we as a team, we'd go back to the clubhouse and talk about the game, you could just see if we had lost and if Tom hadn't scored any goals, he would just start getting depressed. "Oh, I hate this game." "Arr." And he would get annoyed with the other players. "And why didn't you pass to me when you had that chance? I would have scored." And everything about him was just wrapped up in this purpose of scoring goals. And I'd be sitting there feeling sorry for him because, yeah, we didn't win. That's okay. I had fun. That was my purpose of being there. I was fulfilled. I got my dose of football that week. When I was maybe 10 years old, I was in the Scouts, Spider, just on land. and I remember the place where our scout group met to do our different activities. There was a poster on the wall for a disco. And some of my friends at the Scout said they were going to go to this disco and that I should come along. And me being a 10-year-old, I wanted to be cool and with my friends, and yeah, I want to go to the disco. And I remember thinking about it, thinking, well, I don't think my parents will let me. I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't ask them. And so I started feeling anxious about, I want to ask them, but I'm not sure. It's very uncertain about whether I'll be able to go to this disco. So yeah, I was full of all this anxiety, angst. And then eventually I asked my parents, and they said no. So I remember going back to my bedroom, sitting on my bed, getting angry with my parents because they had said no. Just like I knew they would. Because they say no to everything. They won't let me go to the disco, they won't let me buy a Nintendo, they won't let me go out. And in this anger, you just start getting very depressed and down. Oh, never going to have any fun. My goal of getting to that disco, it was uncertain. I wasn't sure whether my parents would say yes. So I was feeling anxious. Eventually my parents said no. My goal was blocked. I couldn't go to the disco. So I got angry. And when I really understood that no meant no, and I was never going to get to that disco, it was impossible for me to get there, then I started getting depressed. Now, these three emotions, anxiety, anger, depression, they can be a result of lots of different things. I know, for instance, depression can be a medical issue for some people. But if we're feeling these emotions, anxiety, anger, depression, maybe the first thing we should do is look at our goals in life and see whether they're good goals or not. Like Tom's goals, his goal is to score goals. He would be anxious about that, because it was uncertain. He didn't know whether he would score goals. When people stopped him from scoring goals, he would get angry. His goal was blocked. And then when the game's over and there's no chance of him scoring any goals that day, then he started getting depressed. God has given us these emotions so that if we experience them, we can actually take some time and look at what is it we believe. What is it we believe will make us happy in life? What do we believe will make us successful as a person, as a parent, as a child? What is it that fulfills us? If, for instance, our pastor, Knut Magner, he's come here, he's started doing a great job in this church, but if his idea of success is reaching Fosnabog for Jesus, bringing everyone here on a Sunday, he's going to be a very anxious person. Because there's so many reasons why that might not happen. Everyone in this community could block his goal, his idea of success. And so he could end up a, as we'd say in English, an emotional wreck. And he wouldn't last very long if that was his goal. If you're a parent, and you think your success as a parent is to have a good Christian family, you're going to be an emotional wreck. Because as soon as one of your children or your husband or your wife doesn't behave in the way that you think a good Christian family should behave, you're going to get angry with them. You might start trying to control their behavior, say who they can hang out with, what music they can listen to, what games they can play. You might try manipulating them. Being a parent and hoping to have a good Christian family is a great desire. It's a great thing to aim for and hope for. But our sense of fulfillment and value as a person can't be based on something that is outside of our control. We don't have the ability or the right to control our family members. The pastor here doesn't have the right or the ability to control everyone in Fosnabog. The businessman who thinks that success is about having a very healthy bank account is going to be anxious every time the stock market moves or the oil industry disappears. Because these things are outside of our control. Our goals in life, our goals for ourselves, can only be based on things that we have the right and ability to control. And the only person that we have the right or ability to control is ourselves. Knut Magner, I hope his goal isn't to bring everyone in this town to Jesus. I hope his goal is to be the pastor that God has called him to be. Because no one outside of this building, no one inside this building can stop him from doing that. As a parent, I hope that Charlotte's going to do something amazing with her life and love Jesus, but I can't control her. My goal as a parent can only be to be the father that God has called me to be. As a husband, I can't control my wife. Shouldn't even try. My goal as a husband should be to be the best husband that God has called me to be. I remember overhearing a conversation with We had asked, before Cecilia and I were married, we asked some very elderly couples for advice. And one guy sat in the corner and said, "Oh, marriage. It's 50-50. You know, got to have a... both got to do the work." And there's another guy. No. Stephen, you give 100% and hope that your wife gives 100% too. I can't only do half of my job and hope that Cecilia will do the other half and we'll make it as a couple. I have the ability and the right to control myself. And I can read the Bible, I can spend time with God, and I can try and find out what He says makes for a successful husband, a good husband. And that's what I can do. And I can pray and hope that Cecilia wants to do the same as my wife. So a God-given goal for your life can only be something that lines up with God's word that you have the right and ability to control. If it's anything else than that, then it can't be a goal. It can't be something that you base your success or your value as a person or your sense of fulfillment on. If it relies on other people or other circumstances, it just can't be a goal to have. For me, I hope that I'll have a strong Christian family, but I can't put my sense of worth on that. So it can't be a goal to have a good Christian family. So I'm going to take it down a notch, and I'll call it a desire. Okay? And this is the type of thing that we have to do in our own lives. If you're experiencing anxiety about things, if you're experiencing anger about things, if you're experiencing depression, you need to look and see, is there something I'm trying to work towards, a goal that I have in my life that is actually dependent on other people or circumstances? Because if that's the case, you need to take that goal and say, God, this isn't going to be a goal in my life anymore. I'm going to make it into just a desire. And I'm going to focus on the goals that you want. And what does God want for us? What is God's goal for you? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, it is the will of God that you be sanctified. That means to become like Jesus. That's what God wants you to do. That's what God wants you to be. A few verses later it says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. This is what God wants for us. This is a good goal to have. Because no one can stop us from reaching that goal, except us. We're the only ones that can stop it. God wants it to happen. God wants you to become like Jesus. The only one in your way is you. You might be thinking that, yeah, but there's things that I really want to happen in my life. If they rely on other people or circumstances outside of your control, you have to downgrade them to maybe a godly desire. Because if we don't get our desires, we'll experience disappointment. Life is full of disappointments, we know that. And we can deal with disappointment. But dealing with disappointment is a lot easier than dealing with anxiety, dealing with anger, and dealing with depression. I'm just going to pray to finish, and then we're going to sing. We've got two more songs. Father, I thank you that the things that you want for our lives, no other person, no other circumstance can stop that from happening. And your desire is that all of us become more like your Son. Would you give us the help that we need to make that happen? That our journey with you would only be to get closer to you. Lord, would you help us realize if we have bad goals, can you help us start seeing those things at the right level? That we would, that our value, our success would be based on you and not on achieving things outside of us.